today on Life Talk.
Don't be conformed to this world along with its values and its customs. Don't adopt this world's values, this world's beliefs. Don't live like the world, think like the world, walk like the world, talk like the world, because you're not of the world. But be transformed and progressively changed.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. You know, we're living in a day of incredible confusion. There's a full-on attack against God's Word, God's moral standards, and the Christian faith itself. In a nutshell, there's an attack on God's truth as found in Scripture. Today in our series, What's in a Worldview?, I want to answer the question, where do you get your truth? In this hour of full-on, brazen attack against God's standards, Christians must resolve more than ever before to make the Bible their ultimate non-negotiable source of all truth. So let's jump right into the message, where do you get your truth? Now, last week, I opened up a series called What's in a Worldview? I want you to remember that little word, worldview, because it's so important what our worldview is, that it's a biblical worldview. Now, today, I'm going to call this message, where do you get your truth? Where do you get your truth? Who are you listening to? Who has your ear? Who is shaping and forming your opinions? Who is shaping and forming your worldview? It's either going to be the world or it's going to be God. There's no other choice. So I'm going to read out of John chapter 18, verses 37 to 38. Jesus has been arrested right after he initiated the Lord's Supper. He's gone to the garden. He has sweated great drops of blood. Now he's been arrested. He's standing in front of Pilate. And Pilate wants to let him go. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Now we pick it up. Pilate said, so you are a king, or are you a king? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I'm a king. Look at that, folks. What was he a king of? He had no place to lay his head. What does he mean he's a king? He's king of the universe. He's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. But watch, he said to Pilate, you say rightly that I'm a king. Now watch what he says. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to what, everyone? The truth. The truth. I'm calling this today, where do you get your truth? Jesus said, I was born into the world to go to the cross and that I should bear witness to the truth. Now look what Pilate said. What is truth? I think that's how he said it. What is truth? I think that's how he said it. I can't back that up, but I think that's how he said it. What is truth? I think he was skeptical. I think he was disgusted with the notion of the truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We come to your word, Lord, with great respect and honor. Lord, we receive it. This is the word of God, and we receive it as the word of God. Now, Lord, I pray you will teach us about a worldview. Help us to develop a biblical worldview. I pray that this church, those that have submitted to the authority of this house, will develop, will produce a biblical worldview, that we will have our minds renewed. And I pray that you'll give us ears to hear and hearts to understand this today. Pierce the darkness, pierce the fog, clear out the cobwebs, Lord, and help us to understand this today. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, where do you get your truth? Oh, this is, I said last week, and I mean it. If the Lord had appeared to me and said, okay, Jeff, this is your last series, and I'm taking you home. So whatever you're going to preach, really pray about it, because this is going to be your last series. This is what I would preach. This is what I would preach. Because there is an incredible need in the church today to have a biblical worldview. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus did not say he came to bear witness to a truth. No, he didn't say that. Or to truth in general, he didn't say that either. He said, I came to bear witness to the truth. Now, that separates the truth he's talking about from common truth. He's talking about a the truth, some kind of an ultimate truth, an exclusive, non-negotiable, unchanging, unassailable truth, a divine truth, a truth that doesn't change or bend or bow to the whims of men, a truth that remains the truth across generations, across cultures. If it was true 1,000 years ago, it's still true today. He came to bear witness to the truth, and he was born to die on the cross. Jesus said, I came to die on the cross, is why I was born. And before I die on the cross, I came to bear witness to the truth. Now that tells us that there is an absolute truth. There's relative truth. In other words, it's true that today it's sunshiny and tomorrow it's raining. And so you can't say it's always going to be sunshiny. You can't make it an absolute because it's going to change. So the weather is relative. And we understand that. But there is truth that is biblical, that is absolute. It never changes. It doesn't care what we think. We are to acknowledge it and receive it and grow by it and be set free by it. I'm going to show that in just a minute. But Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. Now, the sad thing to me is that here's Pilate. He's standing in front of the embodiment of all truth. He's got the truth standing right in front of him, looking him right in the eye, and he says to the truth, what is truth? But he didn't hang around long enough to get an answer. Isn't that sad? And I almost hear a weariness in Pilate. I almost hear a weariness in him, a frustration with never really having found a truth that he could hang his hat on, that he could build his life on. And I think that's where America is. I see a weariness in America. We are flailing in the wind. We are blown about by so many different things. Our nation is angry. Our nation is bitter. Our nation is divided. Our nation is confused. Our nation, to me, is like Pilate. What is truth? I wish I knew some truth. I wish I had something I could hang my hat on and build my life on. I wish there was a truth that I could depend on, that I could wake up in the morning and say, that is true. He is true. God is true. Christ is true. Salvation is real. The Bible is true. But we have sown the wind, and now we're reaping the whirlwind. And the calling of God on my life is to look right into the eye of people and say, let me tell you something. Let me answer Pilate's question. What is truth? It's standing right in front of you, Pilate. He's standing right in front of you. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is truth. Amen. He is truth, and he tells the truth. Amen. Now, I want you to hold that thought for a minute. Let me take us back to last time we were together when I talked to you about a worldview. Everybody listening to me today has a worldview. You've got a worldview right now. You've had a worldview your whole life. Now, it may have changed, but you have a worldview. A worldview is simply how you view the world and everything in it. Isn't that complicated? A worldview is how you view the world, what lens you see the world through. And your worldview is going to be only one of two kinds. A worldly worldview based on the beliefs and the values of this present world. Now follow me carefully, because this is on my heart like no other message to the body of Christ. If you were to say to me, what's the greatest need of the body of Christ, Jeff? I would say to you to have a biblical worldview. Because you can be saved and still have a worldly worldview. And that's why so many people don't have victory. They're not walking in victory in Christ. They're taken down by different habits and sins. They're not walking in the victory that Jesus bought for us because they have not had their minds renewed. See, your worldview is going to be either a worldly worldview or a biblical worldview. And if it's a worldly worldview, you see the world and life and all the important issues of life through the same lens the world does. You see it through the world's values. You see it through the world's beliefs. You see it through the world's morals. You see the world through the lens of the world's worldview. And you can be saved as the day is long, but not have your mind renewed where you have a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview is based on the beliefs and the values of Scripture. What the Bible says is true. Listen to what the Bible says to Christians. We are told to not be conformed to this world any longer with its values and customs. Can I read that again? Paul says to the Romans, and he says to all of us, all Christians, watch this. Don't be conformed to this world along with its values and its customs. Don't adopt this world's values, this world's beliefs. Don't live like the world, think like the world, walk like the world, talk like the world, because you're not of the world. But be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. It's a process over time. How are we transformed? How do we grow up spiritually? By the renewing of our minds. See, when you got saved, your spirit was reborn immediately. Instantly, 100%, you and I got a reborn spirit. I was sitting in jail. I was sitting in juvenile home as a 16-year-old hippie kid, all confused and angry and full of fear. And when I said, Jesus, come into my heart, a miracle, the greatest miracle available to mankind happened to me. My spirit was instantly 100% reborn. How about you? If you were immediately reborn, give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on. But now watch this. Up here, I was not instantly reborn at all. In my mind needed to be renewed because I had 16 years of accumulated stinking thinking. All right? I had world's values. I had fears. I had confusion. My thinking needed to be renewed. See, God wants to take your old way of thinking and erase it, and he wants to replace it with his way of thinking, which is only done by spending time in the Word of God.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Listen to what Paul said. Be transformed. I'm going to read it again. And progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. So every morning I get into the Word of God. What does the Word of God do when I get into it in the morning? It brainwashes me. It washes my brain. See, brainwashing, it isn't always bad. Everybody who comes to Christ needs a good brainwashing. Amen? And we need a brainwashing all the time. We're living in a dirty world with dirty thinking and dirty actions, and we need brainwashing all the time. The Bible talks about the washing of water by the Word of God. So we need our minds renewed. And as our minds are renewed, something begins to happen and change. I begin to see the world through God's eyes and not my own and not the world's, but through God's eyes. I develop a biblical worldview. As a Christian, you're either going to be conformed, shaped, and molded into the image of the world. See, our churches, folks, are full of people who say, oh yeah, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But when you look at their life, you can tell that they are not bowing to the teaching of the Word of God because their lifestyle is not biblical. It's not even Christian a lot of the time. But oh yeah, I'm going to heaven. Oh, I got my ticket to fly. But see, their minds aren't being renewed. Their minds aren't being renewed. They're not reading what the Bible has to say about Christian living and life. And so you look at their lifestyle and you go, wait a minute, you say you're a believer, but what I'm seeing is not lining up with the Word of God at all. You're not morally living for Christ. You're not ethically. You're cussing like a sailor. You're going out on Friday nights and getting drunk and coming to church on Sunday mornings and hallelujah, kumbaya. Some of you are thinking, well, I wish I'd stayed home today. Can I just get real with you folks? Can I get real today? Can I just shoot straight and be real? Because I'm not here to condemn anybody. Believe me, I'm not. Because I know exactly what it is. Listen, we are in a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. But watch this now. Don't be conformed to this world. Why? Because Satan is the god of this world. The Bible says, little g, he's the god of this world. John says in 1 John 2:15 to 17, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here's John's description of the world in one fell swoop. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. And then in chapter 5, I believe verse 19, John says, the whole world is under the influence of the wicked one. So if he's the god of this world, if all that is in the world is contrary to the Father, and if the whole world is under the sway of the little g god, the devil, then why in the world would I want to think like the world, act like the world, accept the values of this world? Because folks, this world is at odds with God, and the kingdom of God is at odds with this world. Not the beautiful creation. I love God's creation. I marvel at it every day. But I'm talking about the wicked thought patterns and lifestyles, the hostility against God. This world is in rebellion against God. Why would we let ourselves be like it, or think like it, or walk like it? So, he says we need to develop a worldview that is biblical. It's so important. Now listen carefully. Our worldview is so important because it decides how you view God, how you view man, yourself, life, spiritual things, morality, eternity, heaven, and hell. All those things flow through the lens of your worldview. Your worldview has primarily been shaped heretofore, right now, sitting out there, and me, myself, the sum total of my worldview is the result of who has taught me through the years, who I've listened to, who had my ear, who had my respect, who had my attention, who I believe was telling me the truth. That has shaped my worldview. The lifestyle you choose to live, the moral decisions that you decide to make, what you do with the life that God has given you, how you understand your meaning and your purpose, who you've listened to, what you've read, what you have accepted as true. That's what gave you your worldview. The hundreds of decisions you make each and every day flow out of your worldview. So you're not going to act according to what you don't believe. Whatever you believe, that's how you're going to act and live. And furthermore, how you interpret and respond to the hot button issues of our day, abortion, same-sex relationships, gun control, socialism versus capitalism, racial issues, all of those things you see through whatever worldview you have sitting there today. How you interpret and respond to them, it's all going to be decided by your worldview. All your conclusions and responses to them will be decided after passing through the sifter of your worldview. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say that you learn that your very best friend has decided to move in with his or her love interest without getting married. Are you against it? Are you grieved over it? Are you okay with it? As long as they're happy? Your worldview will determine how you view it and how you respond to your friend. Your worldview. Let's say you have a single friend who has turned up pregnant. She has no steady job, her parents don't know about it, and the father has already moved on. She's alone. She tells you she's considering an abortion and wants your advice. Whether or not your worldview is biblical or worldly will decide your response and the kind of advice you give her. If your worldview is worldly, you're going to say, well, your happiness means more than the baby, so go ahead and get an abortion so you can stay happy. But if you've got a biblical worldview, you will say the baby's life is more important than your happiness because God cares more about our holiness than he does our happiness. Are you with me? But see, I see Christians all the time being hit with the major hot button issues of life. And I see many times they respond with a worldly worldview, a worldly response that is not rooted in Scripture. And that's why it's so important that we have a biblical worldview, because folks, we're supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. How can we be light if we look like everybody else? How can we be salty if we're just like the world? No, we're supposed to be different. This is not our home. God is our Father. The Bible is our book. Jesus is our Savior. We don't hold the same values. We don't hold the same truth. Can I have an amen today? See, this is why it's so important. What or who has your ear? Who holds your attention? Who you have allowed and are allowing to form and shape your opinions? Dr. Phil, Oprah, or the Word of God? Jesus told Pilate, watch this, all who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. Now follow me. In other words, if you truly love truth, Jesus will have your ear, your attention, your devotion, and he will be the one that shapes your world view. He will be the one. Now, last time we began talking about six foundation stones of a biblical worldview, and the first one was this, that if you have a biblical worldview, you definitely have the conviction that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Now, that is key to having a biblical worldview. If you don't have that worldview, you've got a worldly worldview right off the bat. You need to have your mind renewed. If you claim to be a believer, then you've got to come to the conclusion there is no other way to heaven but Jesus Christ. Buddha won't get you there. Muhammad won't get you there. Being a good person won't get you there. Hugging a tree won't get you there. Cleaning up the climate won't get you there. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Christ will get us to heaven. And that's a biblical worldview. Amen? Amen. Now, let me look at a second foundation stone today, really actually two of them. And here's the first one, the conviction that Jesus and God's Word are where we get our truth. Jesus and God's Word are where we get our truth. Amen. It is the belief that whatever Jesus says is true. Remember, he said, I came to bear witness to the truth. So whatever he said, whatever he taught, was the truth. Unassailable, non-negotiable, absolute truth for everybody, in all times, in all cultures, forever until Christ returns. It's the truth. So whatever Jesus says is true about morals, ethics, money, eternity, heaven, hell, people, prayer, is our truth too. It's my truth. See, did you know the world is so competing with Jesus to get you to believe things that are not biblical, to get you to accept values that are not biblical or kingdom values? Every single day on TV, in the radio, what you read, who you talk to, this world is actively trying to affect the way you think and shape your worldview. And we're not to be conformed to the world. So what is the option? Well, whatever Jesus says is true about all things. It's true. Can everybody say that with me? Whatever Jesus says about all things, it's true. And it's my truth.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.